Welcome to Peers Like Me, a podcast hosted by Western New York Independent Living. Today, our guest is Mark O'Brien, Commissioner of Mental Health of Erie County. Our host is Mara Kelly, the voice of the individuals WNYIL serves. Peers Like Me podcast is a regular broadcasted podcast which educates, empowers, and enlightens our community's understanding, those who have behavioral health barriers, and how the idealization of various skills, techniques, services, and supports results in those impacted living in full community membership and participation. Peers Like Me podcast is based on the belief that those who live with disabilities have the right to choose, advocate, and understand everything about living their own life. About today's guest, Mark O'Brien, LCSWR, ACSW, is a licensed clinical social worker with over 40 years of mental health, child welfare, and healthcare experience. A 1983 SUNY at Buffalo School of Social Work graduate, currently is the Commissioner of Mental Health for Erie County. He previously held the same position as Director of Mental Health Services in Orleans County and Interim Director of Mental Health in Genesee County. He is the chair of the 8-County Regional Planning Consortium, RPC, and was former president and co-founder of Integrity Partners for Behavioral Health, a 14-County, 26-organization member IPA for the provision of behavioral health services in the Western and Finger Lakes region of the state. He is a past executive director and CEO of a residential treatment center and foster care agency and former president of the agency Executive Association of United Way of Buffalo and Erie County. Additionally, he is in private practice in Tonawanda, New York, specializing in treating survivors of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, as well as family and couples therapy. He is also an instructor in the Diocese of Buffalo Pastoral Care Training Program, teaching about family systems and working with survivors of abuse. Mr. O'Brien resides in Grand Island, New York, with his wife. He is the proud father of 3 children and his 5 grandchildren, an avid cyclist. He possesses a black belt in Taekwondo and is a former instructor.
Hello, my name is Mara Kelly. Welcome to Peers Like Me podcast. And today we are have a special guest, Commissioner Mark O'Brien of the Erie County Department of Mental Health. Welcome, Mark. Nice to have you. It's quite a biography you have there.
So, well, Mara, thank you for having me. It's a delight to be talking to you and your listeners.
Yes, yes. So I was sort of saddened but glad that you announced your retirement from your professional career earlier this year. Saddened because you've been such a positive contribution to our community, and glad because you get to not work and have fun and, you know, enjoy the senior discounts in our community. So,
well, hopefully that's the case. Well, as you mentioned, I still do private practice. Right. I do about 6 hours a week. I'll probably double that to maybe about 12 hours a week. It's been an honor to work in this field for now. It's been 43 years.
Yeah.
And you have to know when it's time to pass the torch.
Right, right.
I think it is, and I'd rather go while I still have gas in the tank and something to offer than stay on too long. But I've seen some monumental changes, and it's really interesting to sometimes sitting in a room with fellow professionals or peers who weren't even born.
Right.
When I started my career, I go, okay, there's a time for all of it.
Right. So you started in 1987. I know I've been in meetings with you, and I'll, you know, advocate for whatever, and usually against the grain, and you're just looking at me, and it's this profound look, and I think it's a look of seeking to understand. You know, you're just like, you know, where is she coming from? And I've always appreciated that. You know, not reacting and impulsive, you know, has been very nice, and I've always felt listened to in those rooms. So thank you very much for that curiosity of trying to understand where myself and other people have come from. So,
well, you know, it's an important perspective, I actually started my career in about 10 years earlier than what you just mentioned. It was in the late 70s after I graduated college, over at Crisis Services. Oh. On the phones, and then went to Mobile Outreach as a volunteer, then started TSI in 1981.
Okay.
So, you know, and one of the things that I've always felt important is, you know, if you're in a helping profession, mm-hmm. or a therapist, or in any way, shape, or form, and all the training you do, everything you learn is all designed to use your best therapeutic tool.
Mm-hmm.
And your best therapeutic tool is yourself. If no matter what your approach is, or however, if the person doesn't trust you, can't relate to you, doesn't feel your hearing, understanding, that kind of stuff, right. It really doesn't matter what you know. And there's something so important to listen to somebody who's been there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just admire the courage you and other peers have shown, mm-hmm. in terms of using that lived experience,
yeah.
to help other people. It's actually, yeah. inspiring.
Well, thank you. So I know in my short career, there's been quite a number of commissioners that we have had to work with. And I always felt that the idea of being approachable is so important, and to have that door open. And that hasn't always been the case in the past. And and often there's a great deal of strategy and censorship on how we present ourselves to the commissioner. And I've just appreciated that attitude of being approachable. And I've reached out to you several times and other people, and you've been there. To be listened to have the door open, is we've come a long ways in doing that. So thank you. So you were saying a while back that how did you first understand or gain this idea of the peer support services in your career, or when did you come upon this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, it's all about the person. You're gonna be in the helping profession. It's all about the person you're talking to. Is whose needs are you meeting? You're not there for mine. Mm-hmm. You're there to try and help them get wherever they want to go, wherever they need to be. You're trying to help them identify barriers, that type of thing. And I can tell you, I was at Buffalo General Hospital, mm-hmm. when they still had inpatient beds, and I was the first and only person to hold the title of director of inpatient psychiatric social work and family support,
because
mm-hmm. They didn't have the position. The state mandated to Buffalo General that they create a similarly titled position. They did. I held the position for about 10 years. They never filled it, and then mm-hmm. moved over to ECMC. And while we were there, I got approached by Margaret Varga,
mm-hmm.
who is probably well known in the community, and that's actually how we met.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is very early 90s. This is about 30 years ago, and we became colleagues and then stayed friends probably for a good 30 years to this day. And she was the executive director for Action for Mental Health, mm-hmm. which later became part of West New York Independent Living, if I'm correct.
Yep.
And she was executive director, and later on invited me to serve on her board, which I did. But that wasn't the thing that really got me. So I got to know her, and somebody else who came with her, and her name escapes me, and I've always been awful with names, so hopefully she can forgive me. But we actually, in our discussions, this is before the term peer even was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
and there was no such thing going out there. We put together a program that we call the HOPE program, Hospital Outreach and Patient Education. And it was all about bringing in what are now called peers, people with lived experience, into the inpatient units at Buffalo General to connect with people who are getting ready to discharge, to help them navigate. And not to replace the case manager, or there was no such thing as care coordinators at the time, but to help them to understand what will help keep them out, what will help them readjust, what will help to hear from somebody who's been there, including been in the hospital. Right. And it was such a powerful vehicle. We had greater teams of peers coming in that were connecting people, and it was very, very well received. This is 30-some years ago.
Yeah. So Mike DePiro passed away a couple weeks ago in June, and he was part of that program, the hospital. He would come to Buffalo General. But right. What's so amazing is that at his wake, his stepdaughter brought, like, proudly boasted about, like, flaunted her pride in her stepfather going to the hospital, and that being such a part of his recovery. You know, so much so that she's sharing about his life being so significant in that contribution. So
amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So
you can so help yourself by helping somebody else.
Yes.
And by taking yourself out of yourself. And sometimes it's something, whether you have a mental health history or not, it's something that, you know, what a gift to be able to do that. You know, the people who come into this field, whether they're professional peers,
right.
professional peers, you know, what I found is most people come into this to make a difference.
Right, right. To matter. So,
to matter.
Right. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So that's what I find in a lot of people, to get out of ourselves, to think of other people, you know, to matter, to make a difference. And that could be so simple by just picking up the phone or saying hello or just a little, it's the small things, you know, just showing up, you know?
You know, I have found a couple of things as I kind of progressed through my career and later in life, and I know you listeners can't see it, but there may be a gray hair or two on my head. I think you've probably noticed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, there's a couple things that I've come to learn. And one of the things that really brings people together is purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, it's 90 to 95% of our relationship either start with or continue to be around purpose. You come together for work or advocacy work or volunteer work,
right.
or even a hobby or a club or something that you come around, and the forming of the relationship becomes a secondary benefit,
right.
to that. We're there for this reason.
Right.
You went to school. That's your purpose.
Right.
And so it's important, I think, for people to have a purpose, whatever that purpose
right.
is. And I think the other thing that I've really come to strongly believe, both personally and professionally, is that I don't think that love is the underlying best foundation for relationships. I find that trust is. Because if you love somebody, you don't trust them. You're only going to go so far.
Right.
But if you trust somebody, all things are possible, in my belief. But whether that's an intimate relationship, whether that's a friendship, whether it's a colleague, whatever, you really trust somebody, that's where you're going to
right.
take a risk, be vulnerable, and that trust will continue to grow.
Right. I see trust is in the actions. You know, do you do what you say? You know, like, if you're saying one thing, are you showing it? You know, and that's,
right.
You know, and that's what's the mental health system. There's been so much fear and lack of transparency in the history of the mental, but it's growing where there's a lot more transparency. There's a lot more integration and purpose and trust. And you're right. This whole love concept. In fact, if people say I love you, and you don't trust, it's like they don't even believe it. You know, it doesn't work. And so
exactly. To me, the greatest compliment somebody can say to me is, you know, I really trust you.
Right.
And you're right. I have seen a ton of changes over the years, and I went to Endeavor Health, formerly Mediri, and I went to their 50th anniversary celebration last year, I believe. And I'm sitting there looking around going, oh my God, I've been here for over 40 of their 50 years. And they showed some of their foundational people who were all my contemporaries at the time. And the evolution of the system where you just had the catchment area system.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it all evolved in the 1963 Community Mental Health Act under the Kennedy administration, and the original six catchment areas in Erie County were carved up to catch people coming out of, essentially out of Buffalo Psychiatric Center.
Right.
And we had a street guy. And if you lived in this area, that's where you got referred.
Right. There was no choice. It was your address. That's where you go, you know.
That was pretty much it.
So,
And there were no peer services.
Right. So, yeah. So what I've seen, well, one, the joke is, it's not a joke anymore. Like, oh, the mental patients have the keys to the institutions. Well, like, that's just a given now. Like, there's paid peers, employees that have the keys. And that's just not even a joke anymore. That's reality. But to see someone, back to the trust, to see someone where you're getting services and see that what they're doing and saying, hey, if they're doing it, maybe I can do it. Or, like, it goes back to the HOPE program at Buffalo General. Oh, if they're in recovery or using this tool, maybe I can try it, you know, in the sharing and everything back then seemed so siloed and confidential. Like, no, like, everything was secret, and there's very
and
little
prescriptive.
Yes.
And prescriptive.
Yes.
We're gonna tell you what's good for you.
Right, yeah. And I think the peer movement and people with opening and trust bought into, you know, diversity, person-centered, trauma-informed care, you know, so,
all those things didn't exist, and, you know, I have met some amazing peers over the course of time. We were talking before, I think of Kathy Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't seen Kathy in years, but I remember back in the day when she was out there banging the drum.
Yeah.
Kirsten Benson.
Yep.
She was a peer, not only with that and a trauma survivor, but she dealt with MS.
Mm-hmm.
And all that still ran an agency, and that's why we, you know, I'm glad that Kirsten Benson said his name against you. I think of Kevin. And to be honest with you,
Kevin Smith,
I think of Kevin Smith, but I also think of you.
Yeah.
Because I've known you for many, many years, and you have been on the front line articulating, and, you know, it's gone from having to be on the outside with the pitchforks and torches to being at the table, and that's a welcome addition.
Yes. So, just a thought about Kirsten Vincent. She shook up the whole peer movement in New York State because, I think I'm okay saying this, her experience with the mental health system was sort of not. Like, her trauma and her mental health battles did not take her to the traditional mental health care. And as a peer certification board that I was on, we're like, what do we do with this? You know, what do we do with this non-traditional person that chose her own individual recovery journey that didn't fit into ours? So she broke so many ceilings on saying, this is how I got better. It's not prescriptive. It's not, this is different. But I'm a sufferer and I'm a thriver. So her role model just shattered the ceiling on judgment and, you know.
She blew it away. Right. You know, some of your listeners may know about what the Regional Planning Consortium is and was. Well, there used to be 11 of them across the state. It's a multi-county board, quite honestly. And ours is the only one in the eight counties that's still going.
Right.
And my co-chair for many years was Kirsten Vincent. Mm-hmm. And so part of our role is not only facilitating and bringing people together locally to do planning and discussing, and peers were one of the constituencies, but also to go to Albany twice a year meet with the heads of the five families, as I call them, you know, Oasis and Omega and that kind of stuff. And so we would take that ride together multiple times.
Yeah.
Kirsten and I. And Margaret Barton.
Right.
She was a paid staffer, and then when she left, came back as a coach here. Yeah. So to have that type of involvement at the halls.
Right.
Where these decisions are made, even in Albany, has been just a monumental change.
Well, thank you, Mark. We're running out of time, but I think a lot of the themes that we hear in the past, and a little is not about us without us, and I think your career in the 1980s to now shows how far we've gone in relationships and being all at the table and being approachable and trust. So I really want to thank you on behalf of peers in Western New York for all your contributions, and I wish you continued success and lucky for those 16 people that you might have on your private caseload. But thank you so much, Mark. And I take away from you a relationship based on mutual respect and equality, and thank you very much, Mark. So,
Mara, thank you so much.
Okay. All right, you've been listening to Peers Like Me with Commissioner Mark O'Brien. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Peers Like Me, a podcast that explores issues related to behavioral health, sponsored by Western New York Independent Living, Inc., with the assistance of the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Today, our guest has been Mark O'Brien, Commissioner of Mental Health of Erie County. Our host has been Mara Kelly.